I don't know if you saw the video on the internet or maybe on the news in the last couple of days, but there was a beautiful tribute to the healthcare workers in Cremona, Italy on Friday. A violinist by the name of Lina Yokoyama performed on the rooftop of the hospital there. Cremona has been hit very hard in the last while. They've had about 5,200 cases of the coronavirus so far, and it's been a real time of fear and loss in that city. But for a few minutes, things stopped, and there was that sweet sound of the violin echoing between the buildings. Doctors and healthcare workers opened their windows and stuck their heads out to listen to the music. It was a brief calm in the storm. It honored the lives that were lost, and it offered a touch of hope for people. It was comforting, and it was inspiring, especially to the people who were putting their lives on the line every day. Also, it's particularly touching because Cremona is where Andrea Amati invented the modern violin in 1566. And it's also where Antonio Stradivari created his masterpiece violin, and that's why people today call it Violin City, because of its history. And so this rooftop violin performance was a little bit more than a concert. It was a kind of reminder of who they are as a people, and that some things endure in spite of tragedy. People keep saying that we have to get used to a new normal when all this is done, and that's probably true. We don't think or won't think or act the way that we do now in maybe a few weeks. We don't think or act now like we did even a few months ago. Things are changing. Think about how the attacks of 9/11 changed us and got us thinking and acting differently. Well, this has been a lot more personal than that. But some things endure. God's love, for example, endures. And he loves all of the people of the world. And God's people continue to follow God. For the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've ended my sermons and my devotional times with 3 exhortations. Pray hard, trust God, be safe. So today I have 3 quarantine questions for you. Are you praying? Are you trusting God? And are you being safe? All of these, I think, have very important implications for Jesus followers. After weeks of quarantine and no immediate end in sight, I'd like to challenge you to extend your spiritual disciplines to practical matters of everyday life. So my first question today is, are you praying? You know, anxiety and fear can kind of grab us out of nowhere. I had a really strange dream the other night. I dreamed I was arrested and thrown in jail for not social distancing. Like I said, strange, but maybe not so strange. We all have these dreams that they call anxiety dreams. It's our subconscious trying to work things out. And so somehow our subconscious takes little snippets of our daily lives and jumbles it together with our anxiety and our fear, and we end up having an upsetting dream. You might know what it's like, a dream where you just can't finish something you're trying to finish. Or sometimes it's you just can't get somewhere that you're trying to go. Or other times it's you're running away from something and you just can't escape. You know that kind of dream, right? In my case, it just seems to be my fear that social distancing is going to get bigger and bigger in my subconscious, and it played out in my mind. When I woke up, I was breathing really hard, and my heart was beating hard. So I just lay there for a few minutes, and I started to pray. And I let God's peace wash over me until I wasn't anxious anymore. And I was able to look at the dream objectively. In fact, after a little bit, I was able to laugh at it, because it really wasn't all that serious. So now I've decided that I'm not going to listen to CNN before bed. I'm going to change that habit and maybe pray more. Maybe your family is right there with you in quarantine. This is a good time for you to hear them. I've heard story after story about busy parents who were rediscovering what it means to spend time with their kids and to really listen to them. Don't just hear the noise. hear what they say to you. Try to listen to what their hearts are saying. And listening to God also takes practice, especially when you have less space and less time alone so that you can get away by yourself. But we do need to hear what God is saying to us. I think he's been trying to get our attention for a long time. You may have heard me say many times before that when God tries to get my attention, it's like he sometimes has to use some kind of 2x4 upside my head to get my attention. Well, I don't think there's anything bigger than what's hit us right now. And maybe we ought to stop and listen. In John 8:47, Jesus said, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So I ask you, are you praying? And does that prayer involve listening and hearing God? God's people hear what God says. Well, how do we hear? Well, we hear in a number of different ways. We hear in Scripture when it speaks to us. You're reading a passage and it seems to jump right off the page. The ancient writers used to call that illumination, the illumination of the Word. It's like God just lights up certain passages so you can see them clearly and you can hear what he's saying to you. We hear God's voice through Bible teaching, when somebody teaches us the meaning of the Scriptures. We hear God's voice when godly people speak to us and encourage us to follow God. And we also hear God's voice when we listen for it. Now, it's usually not an audible voice that speaks that way, but often it's a strong impression that you should be doing something to serve God or serve others in a particular way. This scripture tells us, whoever belongs to God hears what he says. Now, the question is, do you belong to God? Have you given him your entire heart? Maybe you can start just by talking to God. Listen to this. Close your eyes and just listen, and perhaps follow along in prayer. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I confess that I'm often distracted and that I don't always give you my whole life, all of me. I sometimes feel pulled in different directions. But Lord, I give you every part of me so that when I feel anxious or fearful or torn in my focus, that you're there right in the middle of it, that you're speaking with your clear and calm voice. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe a prayer like that can help you to either begin a relationship with God in that way or to surrender what you've been holding back. You know, we do need to pray for larger things. You know, we pray for things, right? Yes, we need to pray for the pandemic to end. We need this crisis to end. And yes, we need to pray for safety and recovery and for comfort. And we need to pray for the grieving. But we also need to listen. Pray hard and listen. My second question is, are you trusting God? Last week I had an experience that really made me think, and it was kind of embarrassing. I was pulling up to a stoplight behind a big pickup truck, and he was at the light, and I was behind him, and a long line of traffic was behind me, and the light turned green, but the truck didn't move. So I waited, and I waited still some more, and the truck didn't move. Now, I was sure the light was going to turn red before we got moving again, and so my patience began to run out, and so I gave my horn a little beep, not a loud blast or anything like that, just a little toot to remind the driver ahead of me that it was time for him to go. Well, he started waving his arms all over the place, and it was obvious that he was trying to communicate something to me, but I had no idea what. I thought he was mad at me for honking the horn, but he still didn't move. Then I thought maybe he had some engine trouble and he wanted me to pull around. And so I put my signal on and I started to lean to left to see if I could see around him. And I looked the other way and I could just see something coming around the corner of the truck. Well, a moment later, a girl in a wheelchair came into view in the crosswalk. She was obviously struggling to get to the curb. And the driver in the truck could see all along what was going on, but from where I was, I couldn't see a thing. And so I was impatient and I started honking my horn. When the girl safely reached the sidewalk, we were able to continue through the intersection. It's kind of like that with God right now, isn't it? It hasn't been easy, what we're all going through. And it really is easy to get impatient. But God can see the roadway in front of us. In fact, he's seen it the whole time. He knows what's ahead, and he knows when it's safe to go forward. And it's not just for our convenience, and not just for our safety, but for the safety of others too, that he may hold us back for a bit. When we have difficulty trusting the news and maybe trusting politicians, we really have to trust God. Somebody once said that sometimes God's blessings are not what he gives, but in what he takes away. He knows best. Trust him. What does it mean to trust him? Today I read a post on Twitter from a father who said, "We learned today that our daughter Tabitha has leukemia. She begins chemo tomorrow." And then he continued his post after asking for prayer. He said, "This year, man. But I still believe in God's faithfulness." That's trust. The belief that God loves me and is good, even when the news is heartbreaking. I've been inspired over and over by people writing things like, "Pray for my husband today because he was admitted to the hospital with COVID-19. Or, "Today my mother passed away from the coronavirus." And over again, I see people at the end of these posts add little things like, "But I still believe. I believe that he is good. I still trust him. I'm depending on him. I'm trusting him." That's trust. Charles Spurgeon said, "To trust God in the light is nothing. To trust him in the dark, that's faith." There's a poem, actually Psalm 12 is a poem, the entire psalm. But in that poem, the psalmist writes, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will triumph," or look in triumph, "on their foes." And we will triumph. Just like Easter, there will be a resurrection from this disease and from death to eternal life for anyone who believes in Jesus. So I ask you, are you praying? Are you trusting God? My third question is, are you being safe? Well, what do I mean by that? I mean safe in a couple of different ways. I mean spiritually and physically. It seems to me that when darkness falls, the false prophets like to dance. There are those who seem to have great glee whenever something terrible happens. I hear these prophets saying, "Well, see, I told you so. I predicted this." They may have predicted 24 other things that didn't come true, but this one they got right. We want to believe the good in everyone, but there are some who would take real advantage of this situation. I've gotten mail and emails and tweets from a lot of the doom and gloom preachers, the end of the world forecasters, telling me the last times are coming. Well, I got news for you. We've been in the last day since Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. Jesus said the kingdom of God is now at hand. And it's sort of a now and not yet proposition. The kingdom of God started to come when Jesus came. And it will be completely fulfilled when Jesus returns. So the last days, or the end times, are the period between Jesus coming the first time and Jesus coming the second time. So running around and looking for signs and being afraid that the end is near is really a waste of time. Jesus' return could very well be near. We don't know when it's going to happen. But for a believer in Jesus, that's not something we need to fear. Jesus said to be ready, because no man knows the day or the hour. The purpose of end times preaching is to urge us to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts, so that we can be ready when Jesus returns. just an observation from years of experience. A lot of those who seem to spend an excessive amount of time doing end times preaching seem to do it for one or more of three reasons: to gain a following, to gain money, or to gain control. I realize that's not everybody, but I do see that fairly often. So in these darker times, I think we have to remember what John wrote in chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, "Test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Compare what you hear with Scripture. Be safe. Be safe." But also be safe physically. You know, there's a practical side of Christian faith. And being a Christian doesn't give you a special dispensation from the coronavirus. Many Christians have believed that and believed that they were exempt and have ended up dead. We saw a really sad news this week. Bishop Gerald Glenn of Louisiana, he was a pastor of a really big church there, but he refused to shut down. He said, "I firmly believe that God is larger than this dreaded virus." Well, I believe that too. But he vowed that he would keep preaching and having his church gather until either they arrested him or he was dead. This past Saturday, he died. It's tragic. Four members of his own family now have COVID-19, along with members of his congregation who were exposed. And his daughter is now begging people to stay home and to take this seriously. Now, I'm not mocking him at all. He was a very well-meaning man. He really believed what he was preaching, but he's also really dead. The time when this self-isolating, this quarantine will come to an end, it might be near, but folks, we're not there yet. And so we do have to use some what we call common sense, although sometimes it doesn't seem to be all that common. So I say, please be safe. Take precautions. And don't put others at risk for some false spiritual reason. I ask you again, are you praying? Are you trusting God? Are you being safe? I hope all three. Father God, please watch over this flock. Keep them safe. Deepen their spiritual experience. Help them to talk to you and hear from you. Speak clearly through your word. Give them the strength to trust. And I thank you for each of them. And I look forward to the day when we can all be together again in fellowship. That day is not today. Only you know the day. You can see ahead when we cannot. And we trust your judgment. And we ask for your leading. Draw us near to our Lord Jesus Christ in these troubled times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray hard, trust God, and be safe.